Thanks for listening to the ARC Tactic Podcast. I'm Adam Green. In this week's episode, we're joined by Judd Tolley, editor-at-large of Art and Auction magazine. Judd, it's great having you back on. How have you been?
Very good, thanks. Yeah.
Huge headlines were made during the post-war contemporary auctions last week. Several records were broken, including the highest-selling art auction ever, as well as big record prices for Francis Bacon, Andy Warhol, Jeff Koons, and several others. These trophy piece prices definitely made the news, but when looking at it from an art market perspective, at these price levels, there really aren't too many people participating. So what do these prices tell us about the art markets?
Well, I mean, the bottom line would just be there's a great deal of wealth around globally, and a number of those individuals are willing to spend enormous amounts of money. I mean, what struck me in part, if you look at literally just the average price of a lot that sold at Christie's evening sale, which was a record of any, as you mentioned, of any auction ever, if you tabulate in the buyer's premium, the average price of a lot was almost $11 million, $10.9 million. And at Sotheby's, it was something like $7 million, and at Phillips, it was just under $2 million. So right there, I mean, you're talking again about a very specialized, focused, trophy-type market across the board, from, you know, great pop artworks to, you know, the kind of, well, the Francis Bacon, I guess, is the, would be the epitome, this great, well, he's Irish, but, you know, the great British painter painting Lucian Freud, arguably two of the greatest painters of the, post-war period. So it is a small elite. And whether that trickles down, I'm not so sure. Right now, like you say, it's sort of headline dominated, and go figure. I mean, it's who bought the Francis Bacon, who financed it, what were the deals behind this work appearing at auction, which had been in play before. You know, these are all a very opaque type of atmosphere.
A significant number of very young artists are appearing early at auction in their careers lately, and they're doing pretty well. I'm curious your take on a few aspects of this recent trend. First, is this something you've always witnessed or you've always seen within the art market when the market's performing really well, or is this a recently relatively new phenomenon?
I mean, I don't think it's brand new. I mean, up until maybe a few seasons ago, the small boutique-sized Phillips auction house would be sort of the playpen where the younger artists would have their first showing of an evening sale, and that would kind of launch them. And it's it's expanded a bit. I mean, but the prices are staggering in terms of. I mean, he's not I mean, he just had a show recently at the Whitney, but just by example, Wade Guyton had a work at Christie's from 2005, and the estimate was 500 to 700,000, and it made a record 2.4 million. And the last record, which was just set at Christie's in February, last February, was something like 1.1 million. So again, these numbers are just sort of off the charts. And there are younger artists that you would have seen at Frieze or Art Basel, and these types, like Oscar Murillo, the sort of Jacob Casset from a season before. It's that younger set that really draw the attention of the market. And I think there's a huge gap between that younger set and those prices and that excitement to get those works that are very difficult to come by in the primary market, that the auction market is really the only place to get them. And you can see this by the competition because, you know, these artists, whatever, they have waiting lists and, you know, that's nothing new. I mean, just, it's interesting, but the other evening, there was a talk at NYU with Julian Schnabel and Peter Brandt, and Schnabel's having a show, a kind of a retrospective out at Brandt's Foundation. And he was, you know, by far in the 80s, the superstar youngster, and, you know, very different story now, but still, I think people maybe look at him as kind of, oh yeah, I want to, you know, I want to do that if they have that history. But again, there's a giant gap between these sort of hot emerging artists and the tail end of the post-war trophies or the Jeff Koons. In the middle, the mid-range, it's a very, very different story.
Yeah, it's really fascinating because it's, you know, a very transparent manifestation of this primary market, how the primary market works, and the pricing there, and the lack of supply. And if you want one of these hot young artists, and you're far down on the waiting list, or not on the list at all, you're going to have to pay a different price on the secondary markets.
Yeah, that is the one democratic part of the auction world, the auction arena, that it's, you know, really just, you know, who can pay the most.
And the reception you've heard towards this trend from people within the art market, I've heard a few comments, some negative comments, some skepticism. Is it all negative, or is there some positive reactions you've heard? What's the general consensus?
Well, I mean, not to sound snide, but I mean, the auction houses are very happy. But especially when you speak with veterans, dealers, art advisors, a lot of them are still scratching their heads and just saying, you know, this is just monopoly money. Like, what's going on? This isn't really collecting. It's something else. I mean, there was, Bloomberg ran a quote from Michael Ovitz, a kind of seasoned collector, former, you know, big-time Hollywood talent agent. And he was, you know, going on about the commodification and that this was just, you know, just kind of the usual trophy hunting. I mean, there is some, I think, bitterness because it's become a spectator sport at these high levels. Because, I mean, after all, you know, how many, you know, what kind of net worth do you need to be able to buy an artwork for $10 million? I mean, it's, you know, this is like a, you know, billionaire's row type of population, the 1/10 of the 1% or 1/100 of the 1%. So, you know, there is a lot of animosity, I believe, towards it. And I'm curious myself as to how this will play out, you know, as these numbers get higher and as the potential sellers of art keep demanding more and more what they call, you know, enhanced hammer, or if something sells, they want part of the buyer's premium that the auction house usually keeps for itself, and so the margins keep shrinking, and yet the numbers keep growing.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to touch on with you is just the overall sentiment within the market. You know, if people feel prices can continue to rise, or is there concern that they're getting too high and it's not sustainable, or maybe just people just really aren't sure what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think it would be that last scenario, just sort of not sure. I mean, granted, the two works that this past week made over $100 million, the Andy Warhol Car Crash and The Bacon. I mean, arguably those two works are very significant, and, you know, they might, you know, merit that some aspect of that price. But whether these things can still keep seeping out of the woodwork, which they somehow seem to do, that's a question. I mean, one thing that'll be interesting to watch, this recent news that Tobias Meyer, the longtime head, worldwide head of contemporary art for Sotheby's, and also its star auctioneer, is leaving the company after 20 years. And he's a big, you know, high-profile player. And whether that will have an impact on Sotheby's ability to reel in these, you know, very super valuable works, will be, you know, a question mark, and whether, you know, Christie's will be able to continue this kind of steamroller domination of the post-war market, that's another question. Again, personally, I, you know, believe the art market is cyclical, and you know, it goes, you know, it's like the Dow hits 16,000, but, you know, 5 years ago it was at under 9. So, you know, it's something's going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And beyond all the headlines and the great prices, is it fair to say the entire sector did well? Were there any soft spots or notable signs of weakness?
I mean, looking at it, I mean, at least there really aren't many soft spots, at least at the at this level. And again, I believe the auction houses try very hard to present works that they, you know, have a fair amount of confidence will sell. I mean, there were some, you know, buy-ins, as there always are, but when you're looking at a sale at, you know, at Christie's, where 63 of the 69 lots offered sold, I mean, that's not really an accurate depiction of what, you know, of how that works. But in terms of softness, no, I don't see. I mean, there was a, I don't know the story behind it, but for instance, there was a significant sculpture by the artist Martin Puryear, who recently joined Matthew Mark's gallery. That didn't sell. And then on the other hand, looking at the opposite side of it, at Phillips, there was this extraordinary sculpture by the another African-American artist, David Hammons, that made a record $8 million. And, you know, so it's sort of the question of dings in the market or weaknesses. It's, you know, you can paw through it and find a few examples, but really, no, it's very strong across the board.
And looking ahead, Art Basel Miami coming up shortly, especially based on the amazing prices we saw last week, are you expecting or hearing that there's going to be a lot of great pieces, that sellers are definitely motivated to sell great works given all the prices we've seen recently?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I mean, one problem I think for dealers right now is, you know, what price, you know, what price, asking price are they going to be on some of these works for some of these, you know, in-demand artists? I mean, there's a quite a bit of, for example, the Steve Cohn group of works that were offered, some with guarantees at Sotheby's. Some of them had very recently been bought through dealers at art fairs, like the Gerhard Richter painting that Cohn sold at Sotheby's, had just been at Miami last December at Pace's booth. So it's a big question. I mean, it's a very competitive field, and I think right now owners of art who are in the driver's seat in terms of if they have something quite desirable. Now, again, just a quick note about Art Basel Miami. I mean, a big chunk of that fair is basically primary market work or an aspect of it. So that'll also be interesting to see what some of these younger artists' works will be offered at. But, you know, I would say if you're an aspiring collector, it's, you know, must be pretty daunting to sort of look at that and think, you know, my goodness, you know, what am I going to have to spend to, you know, get a decent work of art?
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to watch and see how things play out over not only the next couple of weeks there, but also, you know, the next 6 months to a year to see if these prices are sustainable.
Absolutely.
Judd, thanks so much for coming on and recapping the auctions. And, of course, your auction recaps, as well as all your other great writing, is available in Art and Auction Magazine and on artinfo.com. Thanks again, Judd. We always appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam.